Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about pet education. This is where you don't educate people about pets, but you go into the world of pets, children and their relationships with pets, and sidle up amongst it and just have offerings to it, which encourages education. So this is a sort of a standard way of educating, in actual fact, where you just sidle up to play and kids' activities, and you slowly just enrich them a little bit as you move forward. A very gentle idea. So this is not pet education, pet-ucation, a combination of pets and education. Now, is this a grandstanding official idea? No. It's more of a free-ranging thoughts. So I'm recuperating, podcasting away, but overall teachers have to actually engage with the community and in novel research, and there's a whole series of things that we have to tick, but in reality it means going through a list of prescribed solutions. That is, say you have education providers and you engage them from the outside world. They deliver a course and it's all good and said. It's all fairly passive. The actual, if you have an industry, the industry actually doesn't get involved in education. It actually does what it's doing normally, and the kids walk up to it and observe it and things like that. So this is a slightly different strategy. This is also to, although it's a generalized podcast, it's to Adele from Rocky Point, someone met at a nursery, gave me a brief education update on pets. Took that on board. There's Tanya from Blurt. So Blurt's Rocky Points is a supplier of products which go into the pet market eventually. Well, that's one aspect of it. Tanya is from Blurt. So Blurt I've been giving a bit of a plug for. And this is a new educational mobile phone thing where you can have a conversation, you know, your standard conversations with the bubbles come up, but one of those bubbles can actually be a picture which you actually record a sort of very dense YouTube to, so you can actually record your experiences of a picture, drawing on a picture, scanning it, zooming in as you talk, this type of stuff. So this actually links in terms of that part of Adele's work is educating people, and part of the students' work is that they see something, say their pet, they want to go up and describe and start talking with it. So there's that there. There's Steve, a good person that I'm just chatting to recently, and basically myself. So not too many people here. But the general idea is to actually build something, or to sort of, let's think, oh look, if we can re-engineer this to make it a bit more accessible. And so again, obviously, you can innovate business systems to improve an existing business, or you can forward a much more complex business system, plan ahead, and the planning ahead may not result in things, but there's some strategic thinking which can happen up. So pet-ucation is the idea that you create a parallel education system. Let's go all the way. Parallel education system with a minister of pet education, which is in fact an animal. Let's go crazy here. In fact, an animal. And because I've had the actual lorikeet in my lap just recently, they've just left me alone. These birds actually fly onto you, and it drank from my cup of tea, so I'm not going to be able to drink that anymore. But let's call it, I'd like to say the Minister of Pet Education's Laurie the Lorikeet. So there's an entire parallel system of pet education, and the pets are the stars of the show, and you're learning to care for pets. So let's look at some of the business systems that you could add with this, in that you can have register your pet, have an app for your pet. So one of the things I showed Adele is I made quickly drummed up an app. She gave me her a series of newspaper articles, web articles, showing the basis of Rocky Point. I put that straight into an app. But then this is next generation, so kids should be able to just generate apps very quickly now. The general thing is this, I know that when I, previously I had kids just writing apps really quickly, there was a general upset, uproar. And so you can be uproared if you want to, but it is a fairly simple thing. And I did the pet app of Ninja the cat. So there's a whole lot of things about personal information and I don't know, liability, I don't know, all that type of stuff. There's a whole lot of restrictions in that. People are thinking Facebook, social media profile. You can do a profile of your pet and actually get a lot of the structure in. So I did this for Ninja Cat, where you answer questions about the cat. And actually, in your pet, description of your pet, you expand your education from it. So there's, in the app that I gave Adele, there's a link to another app, which is about a pet, which I did recently. This person, a year ago, 2 years, getting 3 years ago, I've been sick for a while, just went on about, had a super friendly cat, and described the cat, and then I thought, oh, I'm running an app, I'll just do an app of that, do a cat app, not cat nap, cat app. But there goes that some of the educational value of relationship with your pet, being able to actually have a lot of detail and knowledge with it. Now, there's a couple of other things in that your pet, as you get it, grows in size. So I was thinking particularly for rabbit cages, you have a small cage, and as it gets bigger, you get a bigger cage. You have your pet growth scheme, so you have an interaction there where you can actually not necessarily buy a throwaway product. There's a system there, and of course education about pet mites and how the Rocky whatever it is has it available. And so in your pet education, you can actually have the supply of this, of proper pet bedding. So it turns out that proper pet bedding is a key thing for pet welfare, and be able to supply it by a relationship with the customer through that way, through vets, through education, and just have it part of the furniture along with it, every other item that you could want with your pet. But this is in terms of that natural supply. So what you may have is that you've got kids in the high-rise apartments, stuff like that. There's high-rise going up all over Sydney, all down the arteries, there's high-rise. So they can have a pet for a period of time in a policy that they can keep a relationship with that pet as it moves around. It's sort of like a petting zoo, but moreover, and the supply into that. So that's the general. It's only 8 minutes. This is the general idea of it. So the needs to describe between customers and between kids and teachers using the BLIRT system, if it's available, and also having a different structure where you have pet education, where it's associated with the pet. The person produces a documentation, not documentation, but their pet app, so they can show their pet on the mobile phone, and you can ask questions about the pet through the app on the mobile phone, and sort of pet-to-pet recommendations, and a sort of general interest in it. This is just from observation of kids, that they are a particular soft spot to pets. And what I think is the structure there is that there's a lot of toxin. You know, look, unfortunately, so there's a lot of toxin competitiveness in society in general. This is want to acquire, you know, demands, and a pet itself does have a set of demands, but they're not excessive. They're not unusual. They're not going to be something just to trick you. You don't, with a pet, you don't do something and then after a year it gets sick of it and then asks for something more. It's this entire sort of upheaval. There's not competitiveness. It's not that you're a better pet than someone else's pet. They're okay. They've got all the correct educational settings for productive use and the ability to express yourself through your pet and your ability to upgrade ownership or upgrade your relationships with it and relationships now that we perhaps haven't thought of in terms of that to get a particular pet you need a particular a commitment for a long time. So I don't know getting across it and the idea that a pet comes and visits for an amount of time and it's sort of like a pet library. This may be all wrong, but there's all this capacity for it, and of course the ability to sort of teach sort of like what the structure of education is, but avoiding, you know, the heaps of politics with the pet educators, pet Minister of Pet Education, which are not necessarily human. It's like a parallel marketing world. But again, I suppose there's money to be made in it. But essentially, people do spend a lot of money on their pets. It's just they don't spend it intelligently and efficiently. So you may have someone who's got mite treatment. Okay, for instance, our little rabbits have mites, and what you really want to do is treat, I don't know, perhaps all the rabbits in all the pets in one area for mites, or get some understanding, or take a photograph of the mite, or understand the mite, get the information in and out. There seems to be a bottleneck, which Adele would know, of the actual information. People are smart, they're savvy, but they just don't have the information to push ahead. The difference, I think we didn't know, or still don't know, the difference between feed hay and bedding hay, and the differences between that, and the different needs. So there is that sort of a knowledge base which comes out. A lot of people, I think, believe that they're naturally good with pets, but maybe so. Oh God, I'm being attacked by birds again. Oh God, let's have a look at you. Oh no, this is like out of Alfred Hitchcock's out here. This is fantastic stuff. And eventually you can link to other bits of biology, say like your mites, you can expand your understanding of it, or you can have various pets in the pet education department, which are obviously wild and don't want to be pets, and stuff like that. And there's sort of basic news. And I think this is done naturally. There's been a few sites and commercial aspects to it. So the pet education and the putting things. Oh, like for instance. There's rescue greyhounds, rescue rabbits, like the rabbits which are not treated correctly. There's this whole rescue education system, which is for the general benefit of pets. So there's sort of alliances sitting out there, but it's rethinking the education system, where the education system itself is morphed, is mapped onto this fantasy, low-stress world. Yeah, you're not going to be summoned up by the Minister for Pet Education or something like that. And you've got all these standard things through, and it's got this unique bandwidth of communication to kids at a critical point in time. So those are just the general ideas. I'm not a genius or anything like that, so I haven't got the full set of answers, but I know just from my MBA or management training that it's when you're thinking along these lines that an opportunity can occur. Now, in terms of strategy, putting it out as a podcast, I don't know. There may be people overseas listening to it, there may not be. But the interesting thing is that, say this podcast goes out and there's no interest from anybody overseas to do something like on pet education. That's an important thing. That's you know that you're dealing with complex strategy that no people are getting together. And I suppose one of the other aspects of it is that there seems to be a zone of when you are actually sitting on close on, you know, the powder, the keg of resources, you're sitting as a teacher on top of, in an education department, your relationship there is very questionable because you're always, people are asking you to do things and for commercial motives and stuff like that, you have to be very, very savvy. And so it's a very, slow down, and you've got your commitment is a lot of time. If you want to do something, you have to be convinced, and there's a lot of investment time. So although you may purchase something, there's time in organizing it. There's sort of hidden dollars involved in doing it. However, if we're looking at these more general ideas that no one's spending any money, they're just thinking about how it can be done. Now, I suppose as a technology strategist, I can see technologies emerging. So one of the definite emergent technologies is this Plurp, the idea that kids will be able to do, say, communicate a lot more with this new mobile phone technology. This is a sort of combination between PowerPoint, presentation, YouTube, and your mobile phone all in one. So that's an emerging technology. Another emerging technology is the ability to structure information, educational information in apps that the kids produce. That doesn't exist now, but it will exist in future. Now, what happens is in a very rigorous hierarchy, ideas which don't get, you know, there's a set of accepted ideas, and if you trade in that accepted ideas, you do well. If you trade outside it, you're going to get yourself experiencing a whole lot of turbulence while people just look the other way. That being said, this is a great opportunity for just to hang it out there and see what we can do. So look, I think there is a business opportunity there. Well, not business opportunity, a cultural growth opportunity for organisations like the RSPCA, Blur, Rocky Point, other suppliers, Pet Barn or something like that, to get together and actually look at education as a different paradigm as from delivered by the government and going through to one as if we can be all aligned to the same goals. So rather than saying it's an institutionalized delivered thing, i.e. that rubbish is rubbish is taken up by the council at a certain day, to look at more a more general social responsibility to generation of rubbish as a broader concept. So people often think of, say, rubbish as only litter or when it's actually put in a bin. I don't know how to describe it, but this is a breakthrough of the institutionalized thinking, and it takes a little bit of guts to do it if you're actually within in an institution and you realize that you are proposing ideas beyond what it's thought. Just to see where we can take it and generalize proposal. And look, this is just the germ of an idea. I'm sure in 3 or 4 meetings it will be a much more solid strategy. That's Look, if this sounds vague, this is what strategy is like. You're very early on. This is where it's just a general notion of how to go. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.